All right. So my sermon title today is, like the song said right before our video, The Best News Ever. The Best News Ever. And that's exactly what Philip's going to be preaching to this Ethiopian eunuch in our text today. Amen? The next Billy Graham. Baptist author and leader Russell Moore said recently, he said, the next Jonathan Edwards might be the man driving in front of you with a Darwin Fish bumper decal. He said, the next Charles Wesley might be a profanity-spewing hip-hop artist right now. The next Billy Graham might be passed out drunk in a fraternity house right now. The next Charles Spurgeon might be making posters for a gay pride march right now. The next Mother Teresa might be managing an abortion clinic right now. But the Spirit of God can turn all of that around and seems to delight to do so. The new birth doesn't just transform lives, creating repentance and faith. It also provides new leadership to the church and fulfills Jesus' promise to gift his church with everything needed for her onward march through space and time. After all, while Philip was leading this Ethiopian eunuch to Christ, Saul of Tarsus was still a murderer. So in my last message, we talked about how Philip had become quite the evangelist as he made his way to Samaria. He was speaking the truth, he was healing the sick, and the apostles would send Peter and John to confirm this and lay on hands for the Samaritans that they may receive the Holy Spirit. And this would cause a certain false prophet that we talked about and sorcerer to lose his followers to the apostles. And that sorcerer's name was Simon. And he would even begin to follow the apostles, but only because he wanted to gain power and influence with the people. It had nothing to do with worshiping the one true King, Jesus Christ. Simon was all about me, 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 right? That's what we talked about. And less about him. But after Philip was done with Simon, at least for now, our first verse says that an angel of the Lord came to Philip and spoke to him. And that's our first verse today. Acts verse 26 says, now an angel of the Lord said to Philip, go south to the road, the desert road, that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. That name sound familiar to anybody? Right? Jerusalem, it's the same, ironically, the same Jerusalem and Gaza that we hear about in the news every day today. Amen? And so continue to lift up Jerusalem and all the innocent over there, and that God protects them and delivers them. Amen? You know, it's amazing how some of those city names are still the same. 2,000 years later, amen? There's still a Gaza and there's still a Jerusalem and there's still a God. Amen? And, you know, even as other countries come in and steal the land, and then Israel wins it back, and it's just a back and forth, right? God is still in that land. It's still God's chosen people. Amen? So this wasn't a small trip for Philip, okay? Or anyone in those days, because in those days, they had a walk. Most of them traveled by foot, right? Unless they had a lot of money and they had chariots or whatever. Most of them traveled by foot, so you know, unless you had money like the eunuch did in today's text, right? And you had your own chariot. But this was a 48-mile long trip in the desert that the Lord was asking Philip to venture into, right? Amen? So, and I'll show you on the map. So when the angel spoke to Philip, he was in Samaria, okay? So the angel said, I need you to go down through Jerusalem, to Jerusalem, and then from there, I need you to make your way over to Gaza here, okay? So somewhere along this road, he would meet up with the Ethiopian today, okay? But that's what he asked them to do. And it's about 38 miles from Samaria to Jerusalem and about another 48 to Gaza. So that's a long ways when you're walking on foot in the desert, amen? That's a long ways to go. But he was going to answer the Lord's call, okay? The angel of the Lord had told Philip, go south to the road, the desert road. that goes from Jerusalem to Gaza. And he would do that until he came upon the Ethiopian eunuch. MacArthur said that there were two roads from Jerusalem to Gaza, and the angel commanded Philip to take the one that is seldom used. He told him to take the one that is seldom used because that was God's plan. Amen? If it was up to Philip or anyone else for that matter, they would have taken the easier road. But this was God's plan, right? How many times has God told us to take a new road, right? That we wouldn't normally take, amen? But we go out on that limb and we listen to the Lord's command, right? Because it's part of His plan for our lives, amen? We must be willing to step out of our comfort zone in order to do the great work that the kingdom of God calls us to do. We have to step out of our comfort zone. And it's not always easy. As a matter of fact, it's rarely easy. Amen? It's rarely easy, but it's a labor of love for those of us who are in Christ Jesus. Amen? It's a labor of love. And it's rewarding. Amen? The harder the work is, we know the more rewarding it is. Amen? Well, just think how much more that multiplies when you're doing it for the Lord. Amen? Praise God. Verse 27 says, so he started out, okay? So Philip started out, and on his way, he met an Ethiopian eunuch, an important official in charge of all the treasury of the Candake, which means queen of the Ethiopians. This man had gone to Jerusalem to worship. So we know he went to worship. Amen? And we all know what a eunuch is, right? Everybody know what a eunuch is? Okay. The reason they were eunuchs is because they were usually in charge of the king's concubines. Okay, so they didn't trust them, I guess, right? So they were eunuchs because they were in charge of the king's concubines. But this one was in charge of the treasury, it says, of the queen. Okay, so he was a eunuch in title, not physically. Okay, he was probably just a eunuch in title because he wasn't in charge of women. He was in charge of the money. Okay? So, you know, and I guess he was a little more important because obviously they let him leave for this great long trip, and I'm going to tell you how many miles it is here shortly, but they would let him leave, and he had his own belongings. Apparently he had a chariot, and he had this biblical scroll that no proselyte would have, and most people didn't have because they couldn't afford to buy one. Amen? So he had this large biblical scroll, but What was he doing in Jerusalem, right? Says he was worshiping, right? He went to worship the Lord. And we read that he went there to do that, but it was a long, you think it was a long trip for Philip, right, on foot? But it was 2,500 miles from Ethiopia to Jerusalem. That's how far he had traveled in the chariot. And I don't know if it was a turbo chariot or what, man, but they said, they said it probably took him about 90 hours of traveling in his chariot to get there. So he was getting serious about his faith, right? He's going to travel 2,500 miles through the desert, and he's getting serious about his faith. So he went to Jerusalem, he was worshiping the Lord, and he's on his way home, okay? He's on his way home, he's sitting in the chariot reading the book of Isaiah the prophet. Probably something that maybe he heard them preach about in Jerusalem, and he's reading it. He's studying what he had heard. Amen? So he was hungry for God's word. Obviously, he was hungry for God's word as he read this huge scroll. And I'm going to show you what it looked like here in a few minutes. But verse 29 says, the Spirit told Philip, okay? The Spirit told Philip, go to that chariot and stay near it. Right? Philip didn't know this guy. He didn't know the chariot, he didn't know anything, but the Spirit had told Philip, go near the chariot. So it took real boldness for Philip to go right up to an Ethiopian's chariot and just start speaking to him, right? Like if the Lord told you, go up to that Cadillac and just start speaking to that guy, right? Right? In the hood, maybe, I don't know, but but, you know, he had to be bold, right? He had to be bold to go up to this chariot, with somebody he didn't know, right, and start speaking to him. But Philip was going to continue to listen to the Lord, right? He was already on a mission for the Lord. Whether it was an angel, a spirit, or the Lord himself, he was going to listen. He was going to listen. And the reason it was a bold thing to do is because This Ethiopian was a rich man, okay? He was a rich man. I'm sure you could tell by his chariot. He was a rich man and a man of power. But Philip knew that he needed Jesus just as much as any of us. Amen? Rich or not, he still needed Jesus. We all need Jesus, right? Like the t-shirt says at Walmart, y'all need Jesus, right? Right? Amen? I think a lot of times, you know, we avoid to speak the name of Jesus to other people that may seem above us or beyond our reach. Amen? But the truth is, everyone needs to hear the message of Jesus Christ. No matter how poor, how rich, no matter who you are, we all need to hear that message. And so when the Spirit speaks to you, are you going to follow its commands? Right? Are you going to follow its commands no matter how scary or how awkward it seems? Right? It can be very awkward to come up to some people sometimes and just start talking about Jesus. Amen? It can be difficult, but we have to trust in God's will. We have to trust in God's will. It's called blind faith, right? We have a blind faith that the Lord's leading us to do something for Him. That's all about Him, bringing glory to Him. We must go where the Lord calls us to go. All of us as believers. Verse 30 then says that Philip ran up to the chariot. Okay, so here he goes. He runs up to the chariot and he heard the man reading Isaiah the prophet. He said, "Do you understand what you are reading? Do you understand what you're reading?" Philip knew at that moment that God had opened a door for him to witness, right? For him to witness to this man. And that God had prepared this eunuch's heart to receive the best news ever. The gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen? The best news ever. You see, God had arranged this meeting between Philip and the Ethiopian. This is a wonderful example of how God opens doors for evangelism, right? Whether we're already serving in some kind of ministry or just going to work or just going to school, God opens doors, gives us opportunities to share the Word of God. Amen? And that's why we have to always be ready and willing to answer His call. Always. One of our greatest jobs in preaching the gospel is to simply pray for open doors. And I have this taped to my desk, my study desk, so I can read it every day, and I pray this to Jesus, that He sends, that if He would please bring me someone today whom I can serve. Amen? And we should all be praying that every day, right? Bring me, Lord, someone today whom I can serve. And so Philip takes this opportunity to pose a question that's going to open the door even farther, right? It's going to open the door, but he's going to put it in the Ethiopian's court, right? He's going to ask him that question. And the eunuch will answer correctly. And that, you know, he says, so Philip says, "Do you understand what you are reading?" Right? And the eunuch replies in verse 31, he says, "How can I unless someone explains it to me?" There's a door wide open now, right? Unless someone explains it to me. So he invited Philip to come up in his chariot and sit with him. And this is the passage of scripture that he read when Philip walked up. Okay, he was reading the scripture. I'm going to read it to you. And Isaiah 53, by the way, is a prophecy of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the whole chapter, amen? But this is what he was reading, verses 7 and 8. "He was oppressed and afflicted, yet he did not open his mouth. He was led like a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before its shears is silent, so he did not open his mouth. By oppression and judgment he was taken away, yet who of his generation protested? For he was cut off from the land of the living. For the transgression of my people, he was punished." He was punished for all of us. Amen? That's what the servant was reading. This is the gospel. And for us who believe, this is the best news ever. He's going to explain to him, "Hey, you were reading the best news ever." Amen? David Jeremiah said of Isaiah 53, the whole chapter, they call it the suffering servant. He said the suffering servant, or the man of suffering, prophecies of Jesus speak of the necessity of the servant to suffer for the sins of the people. Isaiah prophetically spoke of the unjust trial of Jesus before Pilate, of his silence before his accusers, of his shameful treatment by the rulers, and of his slaughter as a lamb on the cross for all of us. The author's primary concern is not the suffering, however, but Jesus' amazing triumph over the suffering. That's the key. Amen? That Jesus triumphed over the suffering. This was an amazing foretelling, a prophecy of the sacrifice of Jesus that he would make on the cross for all of our sins. Amen? And another amazing part about this, or the most amazing part, is it was written 700 years before Jesus would even be born. Amen? That's the amazing part. That's the amazing thing of the Bible. Amen? 700 years before the birth of Christ. The eunuch wanted this scripture. He had probably heard preached and teached in Jerusalem. He wanted it to be explained to him. He wanted to know what it meant, right? And Philip, of course, was ready to witness this message of the gospel to him, and he would tell him and tell anybody who would listen. He was Philip the evangelist, amen? He was ready to tell anybody who would listen. And in verse 34, it says, the eunuch asked Philip, he said, tell me, please, who was the prophet talking about? Is he talking about himself, or is he talking about someone else? And Philip began with the very passage of Scripture that we just read and told him the good news about Jesus Christ. Told him the good news. You see, back in the day, they didn't have verses and chapters like it's all laid out for us now. It was just one long read, okay? From book to book to book. And of course, the New Testament hadn't been written yet at this time. So they call it the Pentateuch, okay? It was the first five books of the Old Testament. And that's what that big scroll was. And this is a copy of it. This is what it would have looked like. And I saw this in Kentucky when I went to go see the Ark exhibit. And this is what that scroll would have looked like, just for the first five books of the Bible. Amen? And I went through the whole thing to make sure they were all there. All five books were there, but this scroll was like 75 feet long, they said. So, you know, not everybody could afford a scroll like that. Amen? The Ethiopian had money, okay? And that's what he was reading. And so the eunuch hands over this huge scroll, right, to Philip, okay? And Philip begins to read from Isaiah, explaining how Isaiah wasn't talking about himself, but he was talking about the Messiah. He was talking about how the Messiah was going to suffer for our sins. And he would explain how this was a prophecy of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And the only way this eunuch or anyone at that time was going to hear that message was from a witness like Philip, right? The New Testament hadn't been written yet. Amen? They needed to hear it from a witness like Philip. Just like today, me or you may be the only scripture that someone hears. Amen? Not everybody's coming to church. Amen? We may be the only scripture that someone hears. So we have to be strong and we have to be a witness of Jesus Christ so that we can tell them the best news ever. Amen? And then we may fulfill the Lord's great commission for all of us to go out unto the world and deliver that message. Then verse 36, it says, as they traveled along the road, so he's reading to them, he's explaining to them, and as they traveled along the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, look, here's water. What can stand in the way of my being baptized? Other than myself. What could stand in the way of my being baptized? Philip told him, if you believe with all your heart, you may. And the eunuch answered, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Right? That's all he had to believe. He believed that Jesus Christ was the Son of God, and he gave orders. Philip gave orders to stop the chariot. Then both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water, and Philip baptized him. Right there on the spot. Amen? Philip baptized. That is the power of the gospel. As Philip was explaining the meaning of the prophecy, the gospel of Jesus Christ, the eunuch stops him and says, I'm ready to respond. I'm ready to profess my faith. What can stop me from going down to that water and being baptized? What can stand in my way? The Ethiopian believed and he wanted to be baptized right then and there, right? Right then and there. He wanted to profess his faith to God and to anyone else who would watch, anyone else who would listen. His heart had been stirred and he initiated the baptism. Amen? He's the one that asked. So Philip says, okay, let's strike while the iron's hot. Amen? Let's strike while the iron's hot. And they went down to the water where Philip baptized them right there on the side of the road. speaking of striking while the iron's hot, there's a lot of outreach ministries. That looks like Pastor Perry a little bit. I don't think it's him, though. Anyway, there's a lot of outreach ministries out there that are doing this. That's a trough like the one we use here to do our baptisms. They'll put it in the back of a pickup truck, and when they're out there witnessing to the homeless and doing these outreaches and praying for them, and people are getting saved, if they want to get baptized, they baptize them right there on the spot, just like Philip did with the Ethiopian, right? And so they put this in the back of their pickup truck, so it's pretty amazing. And so when the homeless people want to be baptized, they baptize them too. And has any of us experienced this firsthand? You guys seen this out there anywhere? No? Well, they're out there doing it. I know Carrie Bradley from Identifreed, I know she's been doing it for a while. But, they get saved, and then they get baptized right on the spot. And for some of them, it changes their lives forever. Amen? It changes their lives forever. It's powerful. Now, the Bible doesn't say, okay, where or by who we must be baptized, okay? It doesn't say. But when someone says they're ready, we should make it happen as soon as possible. We should make it happen. And here at Amazing Grace, we will baptize you when you're ready, right? When you're ready. No limit to how many times either, okay? Just don't do it more than five, okay? Because it takes a long time to get everything together. And but we like to baptize after confirmation or maybe after affirmation of your faith occurs. You know, we have a Basics in Christianity class for newcomers, new members. We like to do it in conjunction with that. But anytime you guys want to be baptized, we can baptize you. Amen? Just give me like a week notice, okay? And I got a picture here. Oh, here's Jesus getting baptized. This was on Palm Sunday. For those of you who don't know, we had 13 baptisms on Palm Sunday out here in the courtyard. Amen? So it was an amazing time, a blessed time of just new people in the church and everyone professing their faith. Amen? In baptism. And it was an amazing time. And so it was the Ethiopian, okay, who initiated the baptism, and Philip, of course, was going to be happy to do it, right? Happy to oblige. And so you see, it's a great thing, okay, when someone comes up to us as believers and says they want to be saved or they want to be baptized. They just open the door wide open, right, for us to start witnessing to them. But we don't always have to wait for them to come to us, okay? We don't always have to wait for that. Some people may be, you know, shy, afraid, introverted, too introverted to start the conversation. Amen? Sometimes we need to start that conversation. So I say don't wait. Amen? We should be doing this daily on our own initiative, right? And I'm guilty too. Amen? We should be doing this all the time, as often as we can. But we're all a work in progress. Amen? We're all a work in progress. We should be trying to lead other people to Christ. In the church, it's a task that all of us are given, right? As believers and as members of the church, it's up to us to go out and spread the gospel and bring others closer to Christ. And if you're the one that's apprehensive about asking, maybe a newcomer or a visitor, don't wait for someone to come to you. Amen? Run to the Savior, because we don't know our expiration date. Amen? And we don't know what day the Lord's coming back. But we want to be sure that we're saved before any of that happens. Amen? We want to be sure of that. So give your lives to Christ before that day comes. So the Ethiopian, he knew his day and time had come. And he said, let's do this, right? He said, let's do this. What can prevent me from being baptized right now? Stop the chariot. Right? Philip would say, if you believe with all your heart, you may be baptized. And the eunuch said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. That meant he believed with all of his heart, right? This is what we're called to do. Believe with all of our heart and profess with our mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord, and we will be saved, right? Romans 10:9. That is all we have to do, and we will be saved. Believe with our hearts. It's one thing to know with our minds, right, that Christ died for us, and profess it, but we have to believe it in our hearts. It has to be the truth. Amen? Believe it in our hearts to truly be saved. And when we truly believe in our hearts, we want to profess that to everyone. We want to let everybody know that we believe in our hearts that we are saved. And that's, you know, and that's what baptism is. We're professing our faith. We're letting people know that we're living for Christ. Amen? In that day, for an Ethiopian at that time to say that he believed that Jesus Christ was the Messiah, that spoke volumes, okay? That spoke volumes, because they wouldn't become believers until, I mean, as a whole, until the 4th century, right? This is 400 years earlier, 350 years earlier, and he's professing his faith in Christ. This was a big, this was an important step in Christianity, and then verse 38 would say that they went down to the river to baptize the Ethiopian, okay? And that is where Jordan Felice got the idea for that song, Down to the River. No, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. He got that from John the Baptist, okay? But I digress anyways. It says when they came out of the water, okay, he baptized them. When they came out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord suddenly took Philip away, and the eunuch did not see him again, but he went on his way rejoicing. Okay, so it was a baptism. We know that, right? He came out of the water, and the Spirit of the Lord was there. We've seen that, right? We know that happens. We could see all that. But for Philip to be beamed away to another city by an angel, right? That was kind of weird, right? That was kind of impossible, but not for God, right? Not for the Lord, okay? He would be taken away to another city, and because nothing's impossible for the Lord. Remember in John chapter 6, when they were out on the water, right? And the Lord was walking up on the water, the Lord would come into the boat, and immediately the boat would be on the shore, right? So the Lord can make anything happen, right? Whatever the Lord's will is, that's what's going to happen. So both unexplainable, but we're not expected to understand all the miracles of God. We're only called to believe. We're only called to believe and have a blind faith that God can do anything. And that he's sovereign, right? That's what sovereign means. Amen? And so nothing's beyond his reach. Thank you, Jesus. And thank you for every miracle, Lord, and every prayer answered in this church. There have been so many prayers answered in this church. Amen? And so the rest of the verse says the Ethiopian would continue on his way rejoicing. I could see him dancing, right? And even after Philip was taken away, the faith that he had in God was stronger than any event or any strange event that would be in his life, right? That should be the same for us. As believers in Jesus Christ, our faith should be stronger ultimately than anything in our lives, anything that happens in our lives. Nothing should be able to shake us to the core when we know that God is in control. Knowing that God is in control. Because we believe the best news ever, right? The best news ever. Amen? And our last verse says, Philip, however, appeared at Azotus and traveled about, preaching the gospel in all the towns until he reached Caesarea, okay? Notice it says all the towns, all right? All the towns. Philip would not only preach in the Jewish cities, but he was preaching in the Gentile cities. Whatever city he was going through, he was going to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. It didn't matter if they were Gentiles, Jews, or it didn't matter who they were, or an Ethiopian, amen? Caesarea, by the way, would be the city where he would settle and live for the rest of his life, they think, or at least the next 20 years, right? The best news ever does not discriminate. Amen? It does not discriminate. He would end up living in a Gentile town, right? Does not discriminate. But the point is that this would truly be the beginning of the spreading of the gospel, right? To the ends of the earth, like the Lord commanded, right? Spread the best news ever to the ends of the earth. And just like Jesus said in the Great Commission. And this would truly give Philip, we call him the evangelist, right? This would truly give him that title. He would become the evangelist going through all these cities. You know, whether it's a foreigner, an important leader, or an enemy, everyone that he came in contact with needed to hear the message, the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen? And it's our duty as believers to do the same, to spread that gospel to anybody who will listen, right? And as a pastor, it's definitely my job to ask this congregation and anyone visiting or anyone new here that, you know, if they would like to give their lives to Christ. Amen? We try to do that every Sunday, right? If they would like to give their lives to Christ today, or maybe even we say recommit their lives, right? Because we want everybody to take part in this. So you can never say these words too many times. And so I want everyone to say this, to repeat this with me, okay? And we'll just say it right from where we're at, okay? And we're gonna give our lives to Christ or recommit our lives right now through this prayer. Amen? Here we go. Repeat after me. Lord Jesus, I ask for your forgiveness of my sins. I ask that you be the only Lord of my life. And enter my heart. That I may live my life for you. Lord, I ask that your Holy Spirit may live in this body, which I call your temple. May you use me for your will and to spread your gospel. And may everything I say and do bring glory to your name. And it's in your most holy name we pray. Amen. You said that, committed your life like that. I believe you are saved. Amen. Amen. Lord, we thank you, Father, for this message today and for every opportunity that you give us to live in your will and to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. Father God, strengthen us. Give us the hope and the resilience and the power to go out everywhere, Lord, no fear, unashamed, and preach your gospel. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.